Elgin has three exits off the high rail, have you know? Big time stuff. Well, some of the young folk there got pictures of a pirate. Some of the pictures might be recognizable, but hard to see behind the disguise of the pirate. But afterwards, if you come to me, I'll show you the picture behind the screen. And you might recognize some, because there were some unwise members of the congregation who allowed their faces to be photographed a couple of Sundays ago. And well, I see somebody looking nervous in the front row there. So what has piracy got to do with with the scripture? Well, as an example, maybe by the time we're finished speaking, it will be a little more clear. But Proverbs 14:12 tells us that there's sometimes a way that seems right might end up ending up in trouble. And there's a few cases where piracy was involved in that. As some of you know, I'm from the Caribbean. As far as I know, not descended from one of the pirates. But there are different kinds of pirates. So there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Sometimes it's very obvious which way is right. Should I kill my neighbor so I can steal his car? No, that's an easy choice. Should I pay my taxes? Well, yes. We're encouraged to do that in the Bible. I was just reading today where they tried to get Jesus in trouble by trying to get him to say we shouldn't pay taxes to Caesar. And he said, anybody has a coin? And they weren't supposed to carry unholy money with them, but apparently one of them had a coin in his pocket. And Jesus said, whose picture is on it? Oh, Caesar. Oh, well, give Caesar what's his. So should I pay taxes? Yes. But how about a choice like this? Should I go to Fort Mac and work in the oil fields or go to Africa as a missionary? Maybe. God will direct you. Scripture advises us that not every choice that seems good at first glance turns out to be the right one. So now we're going to go in the time machine. So those of you my age group wouldn't be a problem, but for the younger generation, try and think back to the distant past. So come back in time with me. You're the captain of a merchant ship traveling from England to the West Indies, to Barbados. The year 1830. There is no GPS. Ships had a good idea of their latitude, how far they were north or south of the equator. But to determine their longitude, their east-west position, was very difficult. It required either expensive seagoing clocks, which had only been recently invented, and even if a ship could afford them, hours could be large. So the usual plan was to ensure that you reached the correct latitude while you were well east. If you're going west, you make sure you got there long before you were at your destination. And then you sail west while keeping a very sharp lookout. Sailors scan the horizon day and night for a sight of land. And I've been on a small boat in the Atlantic, and when you think you're getting close to where you're going, that's all. The only thing anybody thinks about is who is the first to sight land. So crew morale is low. They're tired from the long voyage and upset with the rookie sailors who cause false alarms by mistaking cloud formations for land. Then, one dark night, a flash of light is seen ahead and slightly to the right. It vanishes again as the ship descends into the trough between two ocean swells. Soon the light is visible all the time, and many other lights can be seen. Now everyone is awake. The excitement is building, and thoughts of a safe harbor and some rest are uppermost in their minds. As captain, you have to bring the crew back to reality. There's still work to be done, but you yourself are not immune from the feeling of excitement. A few more hours, and you can relax a bit. So the number of lights that you see indicates a town. And Bridgetown, the capital of Barbados, is the first settlement to be encountered when approaching the southeastern part of the island. So you alter course to enter the harbor. Suddenly a lookout shouts, "Breakers ahead, waves breaking." You scream at the helmsman to alter course to port, but it's too late. In an explosion of breaking waves and timber grinding on coral rock, your world comes to an end. How could this happen? It all seems so right. In 1830, the southeast coast of Barbados was sparsely populated. But the population included a pirate, Samuel Hall Lord. About 1 kilometer out from the beach is a semi-submerged barrier reef. And Sam had a lot of tall coconut trees and apparently no lack of lanterns. He could make that desolate coast looked like downtown Toronto at Christmas. If you're interested later on, there's a connection between Toronto and Samuel Lord. One of his descendants, several of his descendants have lived in that area. Actually, his granddaughter was only recently died there. His great-granddaughter died there in about 3 years ago. So how can we determine what God wants us to do and avoid costly mistakes? So for help with this, let's look again at the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 5 and 6, which I think a lot of you have committed to memory. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Or He will direct your paths. So how does this work? Can we think of some examples of people who trusted God of all their heart and those that leaned on their own understanding? Here's one example of a guy who did both. Abraham. God told Abraham, "Leave your house, leave everything. Come and I'll show you a place I want you to go." And he up and did it. God also promised Abraham he's going to have descendants. And after a lot of years went by, Abraham began to wonder how God was going to do this. God had said he would do it, but how was he going to do it? So eventually, Abraham thought he would help God out. And like Pirate Sam Lord, he had a child by his housekeeper, by his maid. And it's hardly a day goes by in the news where you don't hear about descendants of that maid causing trouble for the other descendants of Abraham. There's been war between the Arabs and the Jews since anyone can remember. But it's the same Abraham who trusted God. And later on, he trusted God in many other things. But there's an example of when we lean on our own understanding and the results, and when we trust God and follow His will and go His way. It'd be good for us to, I think, probably most of us know those verses by heart. I remember one day in college days, walking along the streets in Toronto and thinking about that verse, and having been at sea with my dad a lot and using a compass, all of a sudden the verse, I got a picture of how that verse worked. We're traveling on the ocean and there's nothing, no land in sight, nothing to aim your boat at, and you're going by the compass. And it's sometimes hard to do that, especially if the ocean's not completely calm and the boat's moving and the compass is swinging a bit. And my dad had one boat that wasn't very good at going in a straight line. And when we went west to St. Vincent, we described the course as between north and south on the west side. It was actually a motor torpedo boat in its early days, converted to a hospital ship using the Korean War. And it was made for going at 45 knots. But nobody could afford the 90 gallons of high-octane fuel, especially back in the 70s, every hour that it took to run. And so it ended up having a couple of old diesels made 10 knots. Well, at 10 knots, it didn't steer very good. But the way to get where you were going, not necessarily the whole big picture, but when the compass says you're off to the left, you go to the right. And it says you're off to the right, you go to the left. Probably we're more familiar now with GPS. I remember going to visit a cousin in Georgia. We didn't know where they lived. We had a GPS, probably one of the early ones at that time. And after a few lefts and rights and lefts and rights, I thought, I hope this GPS doesn't quit now because I have no idea how to get back where I started. And we ended up at their house. But the big picture, we couldn't see. But we go by now turn right, now turn left, now go straight. And sometimes that's the way God leads us. We would prefer sometimes to have His view, the whole plan marked out from beginning. But often, that's not the way He does it. There was a famous movie that had a line in it, just do the next right thing. You don't get a lot of wisdom from current movies, but that one's actually right. The next right thing. Sometimes you're overwhelmed by the situation, and that's all you can do. Just do the next right thing. Well, let's, in closing, let's just say that those two verses together. I'm sorry with different translations, but the gist of it we can get. Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 5. In the Lord, with all your heart, do not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path, direct your paths. Amen.